Hello and welcome back to the Women's Soccer Podcast. I know it's been a while, but I'm your host, Liam Greco, and in today's episode, we'll be finishing out our previews of the expansion teams. As we already previewed the Utah Royals, it is now time to go out back to Southern California and look at San Francisco and San Jose's newest team, Bay FC. Bay FC, founded by four legendary U.S. Women's National Team players like Brandi Chastain, Leslie Osborne, Danielle Sladen, and also Allie Wagner. This power group of female athletes who used to play on the U.S. Women's National Team embody the culture of what women's soccer used to be and embody that grittiness that had to come with previous generations with less opportunities for female athletes in those times. However, now you're seeing almost giving back to the game that they helped pave, and it'll be really fascinating to see this side who will keep these morals about looking back and understanding the history of women's sports and women's soccer more specifically, and how these previous generations are what have shaped the leagues that previously existed before the NWSL, but also the leagues that exist today. The NWSL would not be possible without leagues like the WUSA and WPS, so it's important to acknowledge that, and Bay FC are clearly doing that. I will say, I love how Bay FC are acknowledging the past, but also looking forward to the future and understanding what women's sports will be. And it'll be very interesting to see this season if they can use that knowledge and vision to help them win their first NWSL title and be the first ever expansion team to win a title in their first season. Early to the structure of the Utah Royals episode, which is episode 57. So if you want to see a complete preview of Utah, check out episode 57 of our podcast. Anyway, as the Utah episode was also obviously previewing an expansion team, this episode will take a very similar approach as we will analyze line by line on the pitch of each side's, this episode of the case of BFC, but of the side's defense, goalkeeping line, of course, would be where we start, midfield and forwards. You get the idea. Anyway, so without further ado, let's get into talking about the goalkeeping line. The goalkeeping line of Bay FC was a line that was very questionable before the expansion draft, because before the expansion draft, they had no goalkeeper. And so, obviously, going in, you knew that they were going to target a goalie. And the pick that they made really makes a lot of sense for a lot of different reasons. In that draft, Bay FC selected Kate Rowland, a pick that I thought was smart because obviously Alyssa Nair or Katie Lund or those amazing goalkeepers aren't going to be on the market for the expansion draft with the system that it works, as nine players are protected. So it's very important for the side to be able to get those players that they can get in the draft at the best of their abilities possible. Bay FC, before the draft, according to reports from players like Jenna Tinelli, was one of the teams that was targeting Mandy Haught, who was coming off of an incredible performance for Gotham in their championship run, along with Utah, who eventually got Mandy Haught, and various international teams. Point being was the Bay FC tried to win Mandy Haught and get a goalkeeper for the draft, but Utah eventually was the side that won her over and got Gotham's signature for that deal. So Utah got the deal, but Bay FC didn't have a goalkeeper before the draft, and that's something that's very concerning, obviously. And the expansion draft was a great opportunity for them to pick someone up. Caitlin Rowland is a goalkeeper who has been on championship winning sides. She has plenty of experience, and she's a goalkeeper who's a very good stopper, but she's also good in distribution. And knowing that Bay FC wants to play a very possession oriented style, it's very important to have a goalkeeper that's comfortable in that way and with those mannerisms that you'd have to incorporate into your side as a keeper. And passing is something that's been a lot more in the modern goalkeeping game, which is why goalkeepers like Mandy Haught have exceeded expectations in this league as the NWSL has become more possession-oriented. But in that style of football, you need a goalkeeper who's very comfortable with her feet and able to distribute likewise. So therefore, a goalkeeper like Caitlin Rowland really, really makes sense. And also the experience that she brings with having won multiple championships with the North Carolina Courage really just, and also when they were the Western New York Flash, really just embodies the fact that the Bay FC side is going to be striving for championships from day one. The rest of their goalkeeping unit offers a limelight to the future, with players like Melissa Lauder, former San Diego Wave goalkeeper, and Luzanne Prou, a Canadian international goalkeeper. For more on them, I decided to do some research onto the analytics of their game and analyze why both those goalkeepers, along with Roland, make a perfect match with the Bay FC style of football. In this episode, I talked about the need for a goalkeeper who is comfortable with her feet for a side like Bay FC, who intend to play a very possession-oriented style of football. If you look at Caitlin Roland's stats, it essentially proves this idea that has been very obvious based on the way that coach Albertine Montoya has been talking about his side, but also shows why Roland is the perfect candidate for this position. If you look at the stats from comparing her to goalkeepers from the last year in the top 9 leagues, it shows how she's very comfortable with her feet. She is in the 97th percentile for passes attempted from goalkeepers. She's very good at dealing with crosses. She's crosses stopped percentage, and just the number of crosses she stopped is the 99th percentile, which shows how she's comfortable if the Bay FC does lose the ball for wider areas. It means that, like, in that possession-oriented style, they know they can count on her to make the right play and make the right abilities of selection with regards to distribution. And I think that's something she really is great with, and I really have loved seeing her. And also, just in general, she's someone who loves to play out from the back. Her average length of goal kicks is shorter, but that's merely not because she has a weaker leg. It's because she can play it a little bit shorter. She loves playing the shorter passes, which is why I believe she'll be the starting goalkeeper for this team. In general, just she is someone who embodies leadership and will just be that rock that this team can rely on. And she attempts a lot of throws per game, more than 5.5 throws, showing how they'll love to, you know, calculate the ball and in the back of the pitch and calculate their options before just merely launching it up the field. And I think it shows by Roland is someone who really is going to be reliable for this team, but also someone who fits the style of play. Though Lisanne Pro is someone who doesn't have as great of a pass attempted rate, she doesn't attempt as many passes in the form of the style that was played at Melbourne City, only being in the 84th percentile. Her pass completion rate is in the 96th percentile for goalkeepers, showing all should be very reliable, especially as a young keeper. It's very impressive how she can do that really, really nicely. She's great at not just distributing the ball, which is quite good. She also someone who loves to play short goal kicks, which shows how Bay's going to really love to play with the ball in the back. But she's really good at making sure that she doesn't mess up on her passes, essentially, is the simplest way of saying it. She's really good at keeping the ball and playing with a methodical style of football, which is what Albertine Montoya is going to be expecting from his team, and he'll need a goalkeeper from the back that can really do that. And I think that these two goalkeepers are going to be the ones that'll be competing for the front spot in net for the side, but there's also a lot of talent to be seen in someone like Melissa Lauder, who hasn't gotten the chance to get that many minutes under her belt. She's played on many sides like the Utah Royals, Chicago Red Stars, and the San Diego Wave. Not really a lot of minutes under her belt, only one spell of minutes for the Royals in the fall series, but she's just someone who I think they'll like to develop in net for the Bay side and just have someone to look towards in the future. But overall, very promising goalkeeping union for Bay FC, who will make sure that this side is comfortable in possession, as the goalkeeper is not only the rock of the team in the back, and who they are and what they embody kind of resembles the rest of the team. They're also going to be very important to keeping the ball, as they're going to be the person who's going to be orchestrating the defense, orchestrating the possession style of football, and orchestrating that back line, who we're going to go talk about right now. Looking at Angel City's back line, they're a team that I think has a lot of similarities to Bay FC in general, and I think they have fullbacks who love to get up the field. Emma Vignola, for instance, was one who I think you can think of. Jasmine Spencer, Ali Riley, like the fullbacks on Bay FC, like Caprice Didasco, Kiki Pickett, Alyssa Mallinson. Those are going to be players we're going to love to get up the field, and that kind of shows how I think essentially Bay is almost modeling off of Angel City's defense, who's been incredible, and they're going to love having players like Emily Menges, who can distribute almost similarly, almost like to Sarah Gordon, who what we see on Angel City, how impactful she was for them. And so I think it'll be really interesting to see how this Bay FC backline really communicates very well. We know that Angel City was one of the other teams in the league last season who loved to play with the ball at the back, like also OL Reign as well, now Seattle Reign. And so it'll be interesting to see how Bay FC models that. And in the NWSL, a lot of these players have not played in the NWSL before, all across the side. There's a decent amount of players from overseas or for the draft. So it'll be interesting to see how they incorporate those international styles of football that have particularly more flair or into this much more physical league where you're going to need to have more composure on the ball and make sure that you don't make any silly mistakes. Looking at the back line, the leadership is there. Players like Emily Menges, who won the title for the Portland Thorns in 2022 against the current. She's going to be a center back who I think will be key to rely on for this team, even if she doesn't start on the team. With other leaders like Jen Beattie, who we'll get to later, she'll be someone who can just be a rock and a model for Savvy King and Lavena Vaca. Hopefully, if Bay FC ends up signing her to a contract. Rosters will be announced 4 days after I'm recording this, with the teams will have to cut them down or sign the rookies. So it'll be interesting to see if those players like Vaca get signed to the side. Point being is, on the back line, it'll be interesting to see how Menges and Beattie, with the experience, will kind of flow together with younger players like Savvy King and Vaca, who are drafties, but also players like Kiki Pickett, Akilah Sharples, who are quite talented young prospects but don't have the amount of experience. Alyssa Mallinson's another player you could throw in there. And I think it'll be interesting to see that perfect mesh of experience and youth, which on paper looks great from Bay FC. But again, it's always important to wait and not come to any preconceived notions about the side before we actually get to see the team on the pitch. Overall, this backline looks really great. I love how Didasco is going to be able to get up the field, a really great crosser from wide areas, which is why she won the Defender of the Year in 2021 for Gotham with her assist abilities. Savvy King's a good young player who's going to be modeling herself and her game after a lot of the other players. Didasco will be able to help her on that wider play. I think King will be someone who'll be able to play both the right back and the center back role, like we saw her do at the Coachella Classic Invitational that Bay FC played two games at earlier this season. It'll be interesting to see how Savvy King will incorporate the styles of the game that will be brought by a player like Didasco, because Didasco is another player who loves to play in wider areas, but King will also be playing in a more central area. So I think it'll be good to see her, even though she's a little bit shorter, her passing abilities will definitely be loved. Of course, Didasco and King are two incredible players this side will rely on, but there's plenty of other talents who this team is going to really look at. Alyssa Mallinson's a good young player who has some similarities, I think, to players like Kiki Pickett, another player who's confident at getting up the field and loves to move up the pitch and also is comfortable of playing the ball into the box, which will be, that last pass will be interesting, especially considering how Bay FC has so many great fast players in the front line, like Asisat Oshoela and Rachel Kunanaji. Those two players are going to love to get in behind and make those beautiful runs that, and their finishing touches are both impeccable as finishers, which was seen in their plays in the Spanish league. And though that may seem irrelevant to be talking about players in the back line, players like Mallinson and Pickett are going to be so important with their passing abilities, as they are people who can both distribute the ball quite nicely. First, focusing in on Kiki Pickett. Kiki Pickett was in the 83rd percentile in assists last season, 92nd percentile in pass completion, and also just an all-around incredible player, very good at almost 4 progressive passes a game, which means she loves to play the ball up the pitch, but she's also not doing that too much. She's only in the 32nd percentile there, which, again, these lower percentiles may not be bad things. It just shows how she's much more reserved in playing the ball up the pitch, which I think will also complement the style that Bay FC wants to play. They're a team that's going to want to play with the ball in the back. They want to play the where they're facing, but not rush the ball, play with a methodical style of football, which is going to be something that they're going to love to utilize this season against defenses and slowly break them down rather than forcefully push the ball up the field. It'll be really interesting to see how that's going to continue to work this season. And even players like Alyssa Mallinson, who we talked about, she didn't get that many minutes this season at the Reign, but just incorporating her youth and her potential, which she has, is going to be fun to see. And a player like Kiki Pickett also really fits that brand really well, which is something that I think, though it may seem odd the way the rosters may be constructed, it's important to understand how roster construction is built with this identity. And the identity has been crystal clear, not just in the fullbacks, but also in the center back line, who are the leaders of this team, and players like Jen Beattie and Ole Menges, who are so comfortable in multiple different ways that will help AFC win this season. Menges and Beattie clearly are continuating the themes that I've mentioned earlier about they wanting to be a passing-oriented side. Menges isn't the best, like, pass completer, but she's going to make more risky passes. She makes over 60 passes. She attempts, rather, more than 60 passes a game. She's in the 79th percentile for progressive passing, so I think she'll be a player who will love to push it up the field. And I think the combination that she possesses with players like Jen Beattie, who we'll talk about a little bit later, will be good for the side to be able to balance playing short, but also being able to willingly push the ball up the field to get more opportunities. She's very good in successful take-ons in the 80th percentile, showing how she's not afraid to take on defenders, and especially in a possession-oriented style, you can see how teams really love to high-press the sides that play in with such a possession manner, which is how teams like Gotham FC against the side like Oil Rain in the final, continuously pressing in order to make something happen and hope that the other team messes up is essentially the best way I can mention it. Jen Beattie is someone who doesn't love to play progressive passes, only 2.5 of those a game, but she's in the 96th percentile for pass completion rates for all center backs, which shows how she is really, really good at contributing passing to her side and be able to keep the ball. Another tall center back, similar to Leveni Vaca, who was one of the draft picks that BFC had this season in the draft, so it'll show how Jen Beattie can incorporate that passing to the side, but also that physicality, which is really important for an expansion team because those other teams are going to try and go at you really, really hard. They're going to try and use the fact that you're an expansion team to their advantage and really push against you and try and make your team mess up because your team is new. And someone like Jen Beattie will bring stability, and her experience at the highest level will be so important for this base side because the teams without experience are the teams that have struggled for expansion teams. Comparing teams like Racing Louisville and San Diego, it's clear that San Diego had star players with so much experience like Alex Morgan and Abby Dahlkemper, Sophia Jakobsen, Kaylin Sheridan. There was so much talent there that had the experience at the highest level to bring to their side, whereas Louisville merely had a lot of great players, but they were all young and inexperienced at the level that the NWSL has to possess. So for sides that like Bay, who have aspirations of being one of the best women's teams in the world, it's important to have the leadership out of the back line and in the net for their side to be built up for the rest of the side in order to provide the best chance of them having a balance of leadership and youth, and for their midfield and attackers to be able to shine and do what they do best, score goals. Though Bay FC's back line was very good at making short passes, their midfield illustrates how their side will be able to link up incredibly well to progress towards getting in front of the net and eventually scoring goals. Jen Beattie's passing accuracy was exceptional, but one thing that I mentioned was how she didn't make a lot of long progressive passes. However, their midfielder Alex Lara, who will most likely play in the sixth defensive midfielder role, will help complement that skill set and be able to receive in the tight pocket areas with her back to goal and then distribute and play long passes to her forwards like Asisat Oshoela and Rachel Kudinaji run onto. Alex Lara is in the 98th percentile for midfielders, all midfielders for assists, which is incredible considering that she's a defensive midfielder, showing how she's really good at distributing from really poor areas on the pitch and areas where you might not think that she has any chance of getting up the field, but she's really good at finding those ways to get up the pitch. This is also demonstrated by her progressive passing, which is almost 7 passes a game, which lands her in the 86th percentile. Though Luera doesn't have the best passing accuracy, the balance that I mentioned earlier about being able to progress up the pitch and play risky passes while also having players with leadership and being able to not be as risky and play the safer ball is going to be very valuable for the space side. And that is going to be the difference for an expansion team like Utah, which is so much young talent, but no one who will really be able to stabilize that side. Whereas Bay FC has players like Jen Beattie and Emily Mangas, who we talked about in the back line, who will be able to beat that defender out of the press and play that short ball to Lura, who will be able to play it up the field. if it's not to her forwards, to some of her creative midfielders on her side, like a player like Diana Castellanos. Castellanos is a player who comes over after being nominated for the FIFA Best Award recently. She's someone who is so, so good on the ball. Silky smooth dribbler. She always finds ways to get around defenders, and even though she has not gotten the respect she deserves in minutes, it's clear to me that she is someone who, even in her short amount of time, can still make an impact on the pitch. She is in the 94th percentile for expected assisted goals, showing how she is really good there. She's in the 99th percentile for shots taken and non-penalty goals, showing how she'll be able to help create this team, not just provide for her teammates up front like Asisat Oshoela and Rachel Kunenaji, but also players like herself in the midfield and Tess Bodian. She's willing to shoot the ball from far out, which is something that should never be underestimated. She is great at creating chances for her teammates, and she's the team player that this side is going to utilize and need in order to win a championship. And that's why someone like her in the midfield is going to be just not only a great role model for younger midfielders like Maya Doms and Tess Bodie, who also play that progressive 10 role who loves to get up the pitch, but also the player in the midfield who's going to be so instrumental for that side. Besides the star and Castellanos and Luera, who are going to be these two orchestrators in midfield, you may be asking who else could play there. Rachel Hill and Rachel Kunenaji could be good link-ups, as Kunenaji would play off the pitch and Hill could drop back into the midfield. Though Hill is listed as a forward role, I could see her playing as a double 10 or a pivot 10 with a player like Castellanos. Maya Doms is the younger player who probably will need some time to get adjusted to the NWSL, but could move up there if needed. Dorian Bailey provides experience, winning titles as well, Washington Spirit. Joelle Anderson's a young, talented player with a beautiful left foot, and that ability to dribble 1v1 on defenders is what earned her a spot in the later parts of the season for the Houston Dash. Tess Bodie's a creative player who can play as a false nine, and that is the role she filled last season for the North Carolina Courage, someone who's really good on link-up players. Link up play with players like Caroline, who will not be on her side this season, but she'll have a bunch of other great forwards. So there's just a bountiful of options. Jamie Shepherd's a young talent who they've got in the draft for Bay FC and Albertine Montoya to utilize this season in the midfield. Though their midfield doesn't have the star power that their front line does, I mean, I could make plenty of arguments that they do, it'll be very fun to watch Dana Castellanos ball out, as some may say, and then to be sold this season. And with her balling out, it'll also allow her front line and her teammates up front to really, really get so many goals, which will lead for more success this season for the new Southern. First three lines of the pitch that we talked about today may have to play beautiful football in order for Bay FC to find its most success, but up front, some nitty-gritty scoring, which what this front line provides, will be very beneficial for this Bay FC side. The beautiful midfield play will help players like Scarlett Kumbros and Rachel Hill out wide to be able to get into isolated 1v1 areas where they thrive to create some assist opportunities, and which will allow also players like Asisat Oshoela and Rachel Kunenaji to find not just spaces in the middle of the pitch, but also areas on the field where she can really find herself and find herself where they can both find themselves in spaces on the field that really allow them to score from, whether it's from crosses or whether that's for simply just getting in on runs, which is something, and just beating defenders in 1v1 areas. Looking at Scarlett Kumbros, she's in the 76th percentile for assists for all forwards, or wingers rather, which shows how she is really going to be someone who will be super effective at getting the ball into the box to the aerial threats that are provided by Asisat Oshoela, Rachel Kunenaji, and also just Den Beattie getting up the pitch. There's so much for this side to really be really excited for going into the season, and Kumbros is a really big part of it. She's a player who's also very good at tackles, 95th percentile for wingers in regards to tackles a game, 97th percentile for aerials. So overall, she's just going to give that nitty-gritty flair to the side, that beauty of the play style that the Mexican women's national team plays, but also she'll bring much more than that in the physicality that's needed for the NWSL. Rachel Hill's a player I expect to play in the midfield for the reason of that she's so good defensively. When comparing her to other attacking midfielders, which is where I would like her to see her play in a double 10 with a player of the quality of Dayton Castellanos, who loves to get up the pitch, Hill can be someone who can drop back into even an 8 sometimes of her defensive abilities. 99th percentile for tackles, 86th percentile for interceptions, 99th percentile for blocks, 89th percentile for clearances and aerials won. This shows how Hill is very good on the defensive side of the game, and for a midfielder, a pivot 8, she'd be the perfect player. Not only is she someone who's good at unleashing the shot up the field and setting up her teammates, she's someone who can do the nitty-gritty work that a midfielder will need to do in defensively. And that is why I really think that Hill really works for this team, which is why I think it's really cool that they selected her in the expansion draft, because she is someone who can really fit into the style of the team, but also be able to do a lot more than that. Rather than just fitting in to the style of the team, she's going to be someone who's going to be helping the side defensively and also offensively and transition. She can do it all for the side. And that's going to be something that'll be so exciting for her to get to watch on this team. She's going to be someone who just is going to get to do whatever she needs to do to help her teammates get the win in this match. Looking up front to the big guns who will get all the goals, Rochelle Kudinagi and Asisa Oshoala. The database actually says Kudinagi is the second most similar player to Oshoala, and I think that shows how they're going to have just a perfect partnership. Both of them very good at carrying the ball up the pitch. Oshoala is in the 89th percentile there. Kudinagi is even higher in that regard. The progressive carries in the 99th percentile. Oshoala is someone who loves to finish in front of net. Kudinagi is someone who likes to take on defenders. To prove this, you can just see the analytics. Oshoala loves to take shots, 95th percentile for shot takes, 90 for shots taken, 97th percentile for non-penalty goals, XG, and 95th for that actual regard, 97th percentile for attacking areas, touches in the attacking area, which shows how Oshoala, even though she had the service of players like Antana Bonmati and Alexia Putejas in the midfield, there'll be so many other players in the side, like in the middle of the pitch, like Dana Castellanos, Tess Bodie, so many more players we talked about earlier, like Alex Luera, who will be able to give her those opportunities to score goals. And Oshoala is going to just be that player who can get the ball in the back of the net. Even though she got very limited opportunities this season, only appearing in 11 matches, mostly from a bench role, and a little more than 350 minutes, she got 7 goals this season, which is insane, showing how she is someone who really doesn't need that much big of an opportunity to get goals. And at 29 years old, she's someone who, rightfully so, deserves her playing time. And that's why she's here at BFC to help her team get those goals, but also to get the star treatment, which she rightfully deserves. Rochelle Kudinagi is another player who is on this BFC side for very valid reason. We talked about how she's very good at taking on defenders. She's in the 99th percentile for that and for progressively carrying the ball. But she's not just your fast player. She's a finisher. She's a poacher at its finest, the deadliest in front of net. Scoring 8 goals in only 14 matches this season, Kudinagi is going to be that person who will be able to not only have to be that only goal scorer, like Madrid CFF relied on her for goals. Here, on Bay, she'll have the flexibility to also be a creative player and allow Asisa Oshoala and Combreros and Hill, other players up front who are so talented, to finish the block in the net. But she creates also a lot of shots as well with her technical ability. In shot-creating actions, she's actually in the 99th percentile for all forwards. Kudinagi's game, though she is incredible at running at defenders and beating them in 1v1 situations with her deadly pace, she's a lot more than that, and that's why she's a record signing. This Zambian forward is so much more than what you may see in the highlight reels. It's not just always the dribble that she makes to get the goal. It's the pass that she makes for her teammates to get the goal, which is what she's so good at. 99th percentile as well for passes, progressive passes recorded. Successful take-ons, 99th percentile, yes, but also touches in the attacking area, 93rd percentile. She can do it all, and ladies and gentlemen and listeners in general, this is what the BFC side really needs. They need a player who can do it all up front, help her teammates get the goals, and overall help BFC lift the title and the championship trophy this season. Do you think they do it? If so, remember to follow us at the Women's Soccer Podcast, underscores in between each word on Instagram and comment on the post there about this episode to tell us how far you think Bay FC will go this season. Thanks so much for listening and your support. Remember, as I just mentioned, to follow us on Instagram and to follow us here wherever you get your podcasts in order to make sure you never miss an episode from me, LDG. That's all from today. Thanks from your host and peace out until next episode. Bye. See you soon.